Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you this, we have had quite a week. Nobody in their right mind will believe what is going on in the city of Benton Harbor. A city that is over 90% black. Over 60% of the people are unemployed. Over 70% of the people live below the poverty level. And the governor, Whirlpool Corporation, and Whirlpool Corporation business partners want to come to the city of Benton Harbor and gentrify the area that the high school sit on. From Main Street to Empire is about 3 to 4 miles. The high school land, we have a football field, we have the baseball field, and we have a very large high school. Land underneath that has not been developed. We have land on the front, we have land on the back, and the businessmen, Whirlpool business partner, and the governor want this land at all costs. It's amazing to me to hear that the governor said these words: I have to close the city of I have to close Benton Harbor High School down. I have to do it. I have to close the high school. You have to close the high school? My question to you, why would you have to close it? Well, one, they said low test scores. That's not a reason. They said you were $16 million in debt. Some say 18. Well, you can forgive the $16 million. Or the $18 million, or whatever it might be, it's simple. That would level the playing field. That would give the residents, the students here in the city of Benton Harbor, an opportunity to concentrate on education rather than trying to figure out the budget itself, how the budget will keep increasing. And here's something that I believe. This is my way of thinking now. And I do not have to be right about this. I want you to know right up front, you people out there, I believe it all started with RESA. The state put RESA over the finance of the city of Benton Harbor school system. And what RESA have done, I won't say that they stole the money, or maybe they misdirected the money to other communities to help other communities rather than help Benton Harbor. Also, vendors paid through RESA was overpaying twice the amount of money that the vendors should have received. See, we're living in a time right now where most people don't quite understand the importance of standing together. You have a governor, Governor Whitmer, who actually, the black votes put her in office. It could not have happened without the white vote, but the black vote put her in office as a Democratic governor, because normally, a Republican governor is the one who goes around closing schools. That's right. Normally, a Republican governor is the one who go around closing schools in our area. But in this case, we have a Democratic governor who had came in and disrespected the whole city of Benton Harbor and the state of Michigan. She have refused to say, hey, I see the problem. I understand the problem. The problem is we have to bring someone in to manage the resources, forgive this debt, and I would ask that you bring in the University of Michigan, who has a track record of helping schools that has low test scores. See, one thing about low test scores, that really don't tell you a lot about the school. You see, they came up with this idea so they can use it against certain schools. How do we know that the test scores that the children are taking are accurate? We don't know that. We have no idea what they are doing. You should not judge people. You should not judge students on their test scores. Absolutely not. Absolutely not, because everybody can take a test. Everybody, when they get around the test, they panic. That's right. They panic. That's what they do. They panic. It's not easy to take a test, especially if you're nervous. And here's another reason, if you didn't study for it. But we're capable of doing that. But here's my thing, and I think that people should know this. I think that it's important that people understand this. The taking over the school has nothing to do with the debt. It has nothing to do with the test scores. It has nothing to do with it. They planted the seed, and when I have to use the word they, I'm talking about Whirlpool Corporation and its business partners, planted the seed over 20 years ago, planning to dismantle the city of Benton Harbor and drive the African-Americans completely out of this community. We're down to less than 10,000 people living in Benton Harbor. Whirlpool has 4,000 employees, and less than a half a percent from Benton Harbor work there. Their words was, Benton Harbor residents are not qualified. That's right. Benton Harbor residents are not qualified to work for Whirlpool Corporation. And I have nothing against Mexicans or anything else, but they went out and hired Mexicans to clean up the offices rather than. And they don't live in Benton Harbor, but they rather hire them to clean the office, because if you give the community an opportunity, they will make the best of it. So we have to think positive about this whole thing. We're in a fight for our lives. This is devastating to the community. But here's the good news: we can win. Because we have the whole country supporting the city of Benton Harbor at this time. Nobody would believe that this governor, Governor Whitmer, will come in and attempt to close the high school down, which is amazing to me, because I cannot believe that someone would even think about taking killing a community. That's right. Killing a community when they have already taken our hospital out of the community. So now if you give birth to a child, it cannot be birthed in the city of Benton Harbor. They have to be born in St. Joseph, Michigan. And the community allowed it. See, one thing I say about my black community, they don't fight unless unless someone stands in front of them and take the blows. See, they're not going to take no blows to save this high school. They'll be in the background saying, oh, that's a shame. This is happening. We had a school board meeting on Friday. It probably wasn't 20 people from Benton Harbor there. Probably wasn't. And I don't, at this time, I don't have any children inside the Benton Harbor school system. And unfortunately, I feel as I'm obligated to go. Because somebody needs to go there and stand up and fight back. We are failing our community. We are failing our people. This thing is bigger than just anything else. This is big. This is bigger than life. You know, who would have thought for a moment that the governor, who happened to be a Democrat, and the way I look at it, it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican. To me, you're the same person. You have the same objectives. And you would destroy any community that stands in your way to get what you want. Who would have believed that someone would come in and make the statement? Make this statement. Now, let me make it clear. Make the statement. I have to close Benton Harbor High School. Why would you have to close Benton Harbor High School? Oh, we'll forgive $10 million if you allow us to close Benton Harbor High School. Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me when you can forgive it all and keep the high school open. You don't have to just close the high school. You can leave the high school open, forgive the city of the debt that you claim they owe. We don't know whether you owe that debt or not, but you said the city of Benton Harbor is 16, I don't know, some say 16, some say 18, some say 14. I have not seen anything concrete to make me believe that what you're saying is true. I have not. That don't mean that it don't exist. I have not seen it. And I'm usually up on everything. I tell you this. The high school has very valuable, valuable land. That high school sits on a diamond. This diamond is so unique. That whole area, well, and also the high school or the school system own other property on that lake too. There's a bank there, and there's land that has not been developed yet there. All that belongs to the school district. So they're looking at gaining enough land, but here's my question: how would they knock out the other people that's living on Colfax? I mean, if they're going to knock the high school down, how would they set up this gated community and block out the black residents that lives on Colfax going up there, and they're on both sides of the streets? That is a good question that I haven't thought about yet. But their goal is to do this. We need the help of this country. We need them to move this thing to a whole different level. There's no shame, you know. There's no shame in this at all. We have to make sure that people understand how important it is to stand up for what is right. They are coming after that land. And if we don't do something, they're going to get it. On Friday, the board voted no, not to accept the governor's proposal. Her proposal was that she would leave K to 8 open. She would leave K to 8 open, but close just the high school and forgive $10 million. Now, if that makes sense to somebody, please let me know, because it's unheard of. But we allow them to say stuff like that because it's money supposed to be involved. And she said that she would cancel $10 million worth of debt if the school board allow her to close the high school. And then she said, here's what she said. Now, I'm gonna quote on this, that it's only going to be closed for a few years, which makes no sense. There's no logic to that. And but some people in the city might go for it, like the ministers. The ministers, and I don't know whether it's true or false, I'm just telling you what I heard, sent a letter to Governor Whitmer and told her that they are backing her in closing the high school. I spoke with one of the ministers whose name allegedly was on that letter, Reverend Charles, and he said he knew nothing about the letter, but he was trying to get away. He was trying to run. I think I had hit a hot spot. He made a power move to get in his car and speed away, because he felt that if they sent the letter to the governor, that the people would never find out. And matter of fact, he had not showed up at any of the meetings, Reverend Charles having. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that he's part of it, but it looks very suspicious. Very suspicious. Well, we know that Rodney Gully guy is part of it. We know that the Atterbury is part of it. We know that Pastor Steve McCoy is part of it. We know that the Burdens, Willie T, and Melvin Burden is part of it, because they're getting funds from Whirlpool Corporation. And anytime you get money from Whirlpool Corporation, you do these things. And this is what is going on in the city of Benton Harbor. We're in a real dog fight. I tell you, they want that land. These businessmen, all they see is dollar signs. They don't see students. They don't see anything. They want that land. And they will do anything within their power to get that land. I'm talking about these people. This is the real deal. We are going to have to change the way we do business. We can no longer continue to allow them to kick us around like old shoes. We have to fight for everything. And in some cases, it might extend our lives. But we must stand up and fight and say no more. I tell you this much. My goal is to fight for that high school. I did not attend that high school, but my wife did. And I think if they decide to close that high school down, they're killing this community. This community will die. It's like sticking a knife right in their heart and pulling the heart out. It will kill this community. This community cannot survive without the high school. You won't. You never know when anytime there's a basketball game, football game, how people go to these games and they pack it. They pack in there. And they're in there. But this fight is bigger than that. You know, we have to learn to stand up for what's right. But on that note, I do have a young man by the name of David Frank. Him and I have been working on this program for years called One Voice Now. And look, it's an excellent program. This takes all the power out of the politicians and put it back into the people's hands. And to me, that's where the power is supposed to be, in the people's hands. But what we have did, we have given these thieves, they're a bunch of thieves. Over 95% of my number, a bunch of thieves. I don't care whether they're black or white, Mexican, Puerto Rican, whatever they are, they get in the office and they steal the money from the people, from taxpayers. Taxpayers. And before I get off the subject, I want to say one other thing because I think this is important. If they close the high school, the taxpayers in Benton Harbor still have to pay the tax. See, you still have to pay your tax. If there's a millage, you still have to pay the millage. Whatever it is, you still have to pay. All kind of taxes. So on that note, I want to bring in my good friend David Frank. From South Bend, Indiana, a strong activist, a person who came with a plan, and now what he's trying to do is get people to understand how important the plan is. See, people don't understand. If the news media don't say something good, they try to say it's bad. But my friend David Frank from South Bend, Indiana, are you there? Talk to me.
Hey, Reverend Pinckney, good to talk to you, and thanks for the great work you're doing there in Benton Harbor.
Well, you know, somebody got to do it, Frank. You know, if it's not you or me, you know, who's going to do it? Who's going to take a stand? Because, you know, you always got to take a stand for the people, because if you out front, you're the one going to get your head knocked off. They sitting back in the back and saying, I told you so. That's the attitude of the people. But we got a real fight here in the city of Benton Harbor, and the good news is we had a stalemate right now. We don't know what this governor is going to do, but she didn't realize how important it was that people here in Benton Harbor. Well, here's the deal. It's really not the people here in Benton Harbor that's really fighting. It's the people around the state. See, when you're dealing with me, you're dealing with people. I have people from all across the country calling and talking about Benton Harbor. What are we going to do, Reverend? What can we do to help? People from Detroit came down here in a big Greyhound bus. We had people come from Flint. They had 9-10 cars coming from Flint. People coming from Grand Rapids. People coming from Kalamazoo. They came from all over to join hands with us in this fight because they knew that the people, the place was full. I say it was a lot of folks. I said well over maybe 1,000 people was there. But maybe, you know, 400 or 500 was from surrounding areas, you know. But that's I don't have a problem with that at all. But it shows what we can do when we work together. She's reconsidering what you do. But listen, what I want to talk about with you, people don't quite understand what One Voice Now, what it represents and how it can enhance our ability to fight this corrupt system. But take your time, and I want you to tell us about One Voice Now.
Sure, I'd be glad to. I think people forget that the founders told us in the Declaration of Independence that it's not only our right but our duty to change the system when it gets this bad. And when the state comes to your community, when the state comes to your community and decides that they're going to throw the kids out of your community, which is basically what they're doing, when they close the schools, they're throwing the kids of Benton Harbor out of the community. And the goal is, as you said, to basically take over your community. And we've got to make it easier for people to stand up and have their voices heard on important issues like education in Benton Harbor and all the communities around the country. You know, education is just one issue. Policing, another issue. the environment, taxation, health care. These are all important issues in our community. And I mean, unless you're just brain dead, you have to realize that the federal government or the state government or the local government are not going to make these issues better in your community. It's up to we the people. That's why the Constitution said we the people. And we have the communication technology now that we've never had before. And all we've got to do is put it to use in our community. So what I've been doing, you know, I've been working here in South Bend, and I feel your frustration. You know, it was said that, you know, you can't preach in your own land. I think you'll agree with that. You know,
Absolutely.
It's so much easier to find people in other parts of the country that want to help you than getting people in your own community to stand up and do something about the problems. But unfortunately, I think a lot of the people have given up, and they've been exposed to the political corruption for so long that they really believe there's nothing that you can do. But there is. And the plan is called One Voice Now. It won me the Dr. Martin Luther King Award here in Indiana. And it's so simple. That's the problem. It's very, very simple. We have to stand up and participate in a movement in our own communities and across the country and demand what Martin Luther King demanded. He wanted everybody to have an equal voice. And, you know, he did that back in the 60s, and this is the age of communication, and we've got to do it now, and we've got to hook up the necessary communication technology so that everybody has that equal voice and the issues that affect their lives. So this is the plan. It's very simple. Your community is exposed to what's called public broadcasting. All communities across the country have local public broadcasting stations. The one in South Bend, Indiana, goes all the way to Benton Harbor. And what we want to do is stand up in South Bend and Benton Harbor and surrounding communities and demand that we use public broadcasting to actually broadcast the public. That's what it was supposed to do back in 1969. But the people that have been controlling it have been taking bribes from the federal government to make sure that instead of using it to actually broadcast the public, we're being forced to watch Antique Roadshow and cartoons and 60s music. But what we want to do is stand up as a community and demand that we change the format of our local public broadcasting station to all local issues. One of the issues in your community right now that can be raised is, do we want to go with the governor's plan, or do we want to keep the education system controlled locally, which is the way it started and which is the way it should be? So these are the kind of issues that can be presented right over our local public broadcasting station. We want to use it as our local issues TV, radio, and internet channel. It'll simulcast over the radio and live stream over a local issues website. And we'll debate these ideas, and then people can vote on these issues, just like we're voting on American Idol or Dancing with the Stars or CNN, the next country western song to be played. All you'll do is call, if you want to vote on an issue, all you'll do is call a local number. It'll go into a community database that will have your ID number and PIN number, ask you what issue number you'd like to vote on, press 1 for yes, 2 for no, count your vote, block you out from voting more than once, and we can now have the issues in our communities decided of the people, by the people, and finally for the people. That's basically it. The politicians hate it because they're puppets for the, you know, the money people. I'm sure the politicians in Benton Harbor are puppets for Whirlpool. You know, here in South Bend, we have our local councils that are puppets for Notre Dame and other corporations that are taking advantage of our communities. But this is basically the plan. You know, we can gripe about all these situations, what the state is doing, you know, not only to Benton Harbor, but what they've done to Flint and Detroit and other communities in Michigan. You know, we can gripe about those things, but we have to stand up with a better plan. And the better plan is called One Voice Now. We want everyone in Benton Harbor and South Bend and every community to do exactly what the title says. One voice now. We want to give everybody one voice, and we want to have these decisions made by the people. And that's basically it. We need to stand up together. Go ahead.
Dave, you know, one thing that you said that got my attention about Notre Dame, how they – they keep expanding in South Bend, and I'm pretty sure that they're using the same program that maybe Whirlpool got their ideas from the University of Notre Dame, because I have noticed that, you know, in the last maybe 20 years, Notre Dame have expanded to a degree that it's almost the whole city of South Bend is Notre Dame. They're a city
all by itself. And the reason these corporations, and keep in mind the abbreviation for corporations is CORPS. The only thing that's missing is the silent E, corpse, death. Mm-hmm. Death is now controlling our communities. But the way that they're able to do it is because they're using a system from the 1700s. Remember, you cannot resolve 21st century issues with a 1700s system. It cannot work. But the reason that these corporations love it is we have 9 people on the city council. All they've got to do is use their finances to control those 5 of the 9 people, and Notre Dame can get anything that they want, just like Whirlpool can get anything that they want in Benton Harbor. And, you know, every community has this situation, and it's now time for the people to take back and control their communities as opposed to these greedy corporations. And that's the way it can all work. It's very simple.
You know what? And you're right on point. One voice now will be a solution. And I think when you talk about one voice now, you're talking about the people taking back the power. See, government's supposed to be ran by the people and for the people. I think we have forgotten
that's
that,
right.
You know, and we let these idiots get in there. And all the only reason they're in there is to steal money. They're not in there to help the people. They're not in there to help you. And then they use the news media to brainwash you into thinking something entirely different. What a world we live in. And the people are stupid enough to believe it. You know?
Well, you know, they are. They are, but the problem is the people don't have a plan. And if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Everybody keeps thinking that they're going to use the existing system to fix their local issues, but they can't, because the system has been built so that the government can't lose and the people can't win. It's like going into a casino that's all rigged, and no matter what you do, you cannot win. The people cannot win, because the lawmakers, people in the federal government and the state government, make the laws. And the laws are there to benefit them. And what we need is we need to bring the real laws, the morals that were thrown out back in 1960. A lot of people don't realize, but 9 lawyers on the Supreme Court threw out the morals in America. All of the morals were found in the 10 Commandments. Lying is wrong, stealing is wrong, killing is wrong, adultery is wrong, working 7 days a week is wrong, disrespecting parents is wrong, being envious of what your neighbor has is wrong. All of these things have been thrown out. Consequently, we become an immoral country. So when the governor does what she's doing to the people in Benton Harbor, it's not a problem, because the whole political system is immoral. Think about back in the 60s and the 70s when they were taking our young people and using them over in Vietnam. And all of a sudden, killing was fine. It wasn't a big deal to kill. It wasn't an immoral
act to kill.
It's okay to kill, and nothing has changed, because now we're right, you know, we went over to Iraq and we killed millions of people, and we destroyed their infrastructure, and we drove them back into the dark ages, and we've done that in countries around the world, and they're getting ready to do it in Iran. And all that time, the owners of the military industrial complex is laughing all the way to the bank while our kids are being marched into hell. And they're coming back and they're committing suicide. We can't keep doing this. The federal government, the state government, the local government, it doesn't work. It's time for everybody to have a voice. You know, it's a brain dead system. Out of 320 million people, when you only use 545 brain cells in Washington, D.C., it's a brain dead system. And in Michigan, how many people are there in Michigan? Like 5-6 million, something like that?
It's more than that.
You know?
We got about 8 million.
8 million people. And out of 8 million people, you're using 150 people in the state to make all the decisions for 8 million people. It's a brain dead system. And locally, what you have is 9 people sitting on a city council making decisions for 8,000 people. And it's a brain dead system. But we've got to stand up with a better plan, and that's what One Voice Now is. I hope your listeners like it. All of the information that they need is at onevoicenow.org, O-N-E, voicenow.org. The blueprint is right there for every community to get busy, start using your local public broadcasting station as your local issues channel. Get busy building a database that can be built overnight. It will contain everyone's ID number for voting. You'll be able to vote on these issues with any touch-tone phone, and we can start rebuilding our piece of America from the ground up, community by community. It's really that simple, and everybody can participate. If you're rich, you can participate. If you're broke, if you're blind, if you're quadriplegic, if you're deaf, everybody can participate. Jesus said, "You will do greater things than I." This miracle of communication technology has been dropped into our laps, just like Moses was given a piece of wood, you know, to free the people out of bondage under Pharaoh. God has dropped this amazing communication technology into our laps. But the thing that Moses realized, and he told the people this, if we all stand up together, we can change our lives. And the same thing holds true with Benton Harbor and South Bend and Detroit and Flint. And if we all stand up together with just one plan, and the plan is so simple, One Voice Now. Do you have access to a TV, a radio, or are you on the internet? Well, why don't you just watch issues over the TV, radio, and internet and vote by phone? Can't make it any more simple, man. It's all right there.
Dave, you're talking to the choir. I believe you. I mean, I can't see how not people have not adopted this. To me, it's a no-brainer. Let's take the power out of these people who don't care nothing about us. See, that's the key word. We have to take the power from them. Until we're able to do it, it's still going to be just like it is now. I don't know what it's going to take, Dave, to get us One Voice Now, but we're going to keep fighting. And, you know, my board is lit up. People are liking what you're saying. People are liking what you're saying. And they like
Well, I hope so. It's all about them. All about them. It's not about Dave Frank at all. You know, Dave Frank's just bringing the plan, but it's not about me. It's about them. And there's not one candidate out there that has all the answers for everybody.
No.
You know, everybody has a little piece of the puzzle. And the trick is bringing those pieces together. That's what One Voice Now does. And the exciting thing about it, Reverend Pinckney, is when we find things in our community, we'll share it with your community. And when you find things in your community, you share it with us. And all of a sudden, we're all working together. You know, when you pick up the phone and vote on an issue, you're not black or you're not white or you're not Christian, Jew, Muslim. You're a person and you're not a minority. We got to get away from that minority baloney. You know, that
That's
all
right.
started back in the 60s. None of God's children our minor children. We're all just as important as the other, and the only way that
all
we'll
right.
ever have equality is for everybody to have an equal voice.
There we go. Say it right now. Give them the website again. Give it to them.
It's One Voice Now, O-N-E, voicenow.org. Please, everybody, go to it, share it with all of your friends, and tell them that we all need one voice now.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dave. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. And we're getting a lot of people are talking. So let's do this again. Maybe we'll give them another chance to hear your voice and talk about one voice now. But right now, I got to move on to my good friend Belinda Brown. Thank you, Dave, so much for being on. I love you, and let's stay focused, okay?
Love you, Reverend Pinckney. Thanks so much for allowing me to be on with you today.
All right. You have a great day. All right. Now it's time for the one and only, the girl from Louisiana, Slidell, Louisiana. Oh, I know what y'all thinking out there. There's no such town called Slidell. I know what you're thinking. There's no such name. There's no such town. Slidell. Reverend Pinckney is making this up. There is a Slidell, Louisiana, and there is a Belinda Parker Brown from Slidell, Louisiana. And Belinda Parker Brown.
Yes, indeed.
Talk to me, Belinda.
Yes, indeed, Pastor Pinckney. You are absolutely right, because you've been here. You have been the Slidell, however they want to say it. But it's right. It's about 15 minutes from New Orleans, and New Orleans is in the South Shore, and we're on the North Shore. And I'm here to tell you, Pastor Pinckney, it's a beautiful place, and you enjoyed yourself, and I'm looking forward to you coming back down here again. But I really enjoyed your last caller, Mr. Dave Frank, and he has a very powerful vision that I believe if we all latch on to right now, Pastor Pinckney, it would make history and literally change the world in the direction that we need to go for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren.
Absolutely. And One Voice Now is taking the power out of these people who we have elected and putting it back into the people's hands. And to me, that's more important. I don't know what it's going to take for people to understand that. It might take a war, a conflict, or whatever it is inside the United States for people to understand how important it is. Because I tell you, these court systems, in your school, Belinda Brown, you graduated from Benton Harbor High School. You know how it is. These folks right here, we went to the school board meeting on Friday. There wasn't even 20 people there from Benton Harbor.
Wow. Wow. It's a sad day for Benton Harbor High School. But you know, Pastor Pinckney, in the beginning, you started that movement of warning people and trying to get them educated and enlightened as much as possible about what was happening in Benton Harbor. I remember when we walked the street, knocked on doors, and, had rallies, community meetings, and, so forth, and we were organizing and mobilizing the people to educate them and give them the information of what's to come. And you you said it, Pastor Pinckney, people don't do anything. It's so sad. They don't do nothing until it happens to them. So now, I was listening to Mr. Dave Frank, and he was saying that, people are in a hopeless state now. They done waited too late. And because they have waited too late, they just feel like there's nothing that they can do. So, I believe you when you say that it was only 20 people that showed up. That's not good at all, because now, you're dealing with people that then lost hope, people that have gave up, and people that are some of them are running and hiding and ducking and dodging because they have benefited from this, and now it's payday. It always comes, once you become a tool. You remember when you had the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, you know, you put on that big rally, Pastor Pinckney, for him to come in and speak to the people about not being a tool in the toolbox. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh. Yep, I remember quite well.
And you know, Marcus. Yeah, you know, the mayor of Benton Harbor, Marcus Muhammad, was there. Okay,
uh-huh.
And now you know he is one of the biggest tools in the toolbox that everybody is using.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, how
absolutely.
Could this be? You know, what is it that would cause people to sell out their own people in such a sad, sickening way? And this is what we see. And you know, I'm excited about, you know, the one voice now that Dave is talking about, because, you know, we cannot sit back and let people, you know, I want to say that the corrupt people make decisions on behalf of us. We have to have our voices heard. We cannot allow a certain selected group of people, you know, you know, here in Louisiana, we call them bourgeois, you know, the bourgeois group, you know, the people that think they better than anybody. The, you know, some of them are Creole, and, you know, some of them, you know, they got all these different names down here because most of them don't know what they are. But the thing about it is that, you know, we're all people, and we're the ones that's supposed to have the power, and we're the ones that are supposed to be able to say what it is that we want, not what somebody else want for us, okay? And I think what this One Voice Now program will put us in that position where we can have, you know, some equality, you know, some, you know, a equal playing field across the board on who and what it is that we need to be doing, you know, who we need to be putting in office, you know, what issues we need to be focusing on, you know, and what's best for the people overall.
Absolutely. And Belinda, and remember this, it'll put the power back into the people, but the people, most of them don't understand. They will probably go out and vote against that program. You keep the power in the people who's the one who's doing all the damage to us. You see, because that's the way that the news media come out, and they'll say, oh, this is a horrible program. You know, they're going to be able to splice into it and everything. This is how the news media come in and do things.
Well, you know what, Pastor Pinckney? I don't think nothing can be worse than where we at right now, because I'm here to tell you that here in this corrupt parish that I live in, which is St. Tammany Parish in Slidell, Louisiana, Pastor Pinckney, these people are, we call it the good old boy system, okay?
Yeah.
It's all about connections, okay?
Uh-huh.
And because of that, we had a district attorney that stayed in office for over 3 decades. That was unheard of. We had a corrupt sheriff that stayed in office almost 3 decades. You know, and come to find out, this man just got picked up, indicted on aggravated molestation, you know, all types of pedophile and sex charges, where he supposedly had been having sex with the men and the women inside the jail.
Shut your mouth.
Okay? That, Pastor Pinckney, I'm here to tell you, when you let people have that kind of power, this is what we wound up with.
Yeah.
And right now the community is outraged about this, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, we went to work about 10 years ago trying to bring these people down on corruption charges, you know, charges like malicious prosecution, you know, fabricating police report on, you know, convicting people on, you know, fraudulent charges and concocted evidence. You know, we was trying to bring them down on how they abuse the taxpayers' money, you know, how they lavish launch themselves with helicopters and private jets and all kinds of stuff, you know, elaborate trips and to London and Paris and, you know, putting it all on Facebook and bragging on how they was, you know, supposed to be here at work, but they somewhere in Paris with their wives and their women and stuff. Okay, we was trying to bring them down on corrupting charges. So now, when this come out that people are coming forth, well, we had one young girl come forth and took a lie detector test. The lie detector test came back 99.9 that he molested her at the age of 13. The sheriff of this parish.
The sheriff. Wow. Amazing.
Yes,
like
and even worse than that, see, what really made my antennas go up, I want to know how in God's name is a sheriff going to have two houses that's worth over $1 million, okay? He have his own private helicopter, all right? He owns over 1,000 acres of land on a waste transfer, okay, and he got the prisoners inside of the jail going work on his farm, all right, picking his chickens and preparing them for meals for people inside the jail. What in the world is going on? How are you going to do that, all of that, on a sheriff's salary, which is less than $80,000 a year?
You can't do it. But he been doing it. He be getting all them kickbacks. They all do. Yeah.
So this is the reason why we need one voice now. You know, we cannot allow these corrupt people stay in office, okay, and then they get so powerful, okay, because and then they get all the taxpayers' money. This man was putting cash money inside of a safe deposit box, money in laundry basket, then stacked up like candy bars. How is that? What in the world is going on?
Yeah, that's amazing, Belinda. Belinda, listen.
And then we sit back and see this stuff, and then all we can do is talk about it.
Yeah, I know.
And keep on voting these same corrupt people back in office over and over again, over three decades. How did this man get back in office that long? And what took them so long to put him in jail on these kind of corrupt charges?
Well, you know how it goes. Right on. Hey, Belinda, I'm just about running out of time. I got to bring on this one young man, but I really, really appreciate you coming on because you told the story. And I want people to know you and One Voice Now, we all going to make this thing happen.
I got a question for Dave, and I'm going to give him a call, Pastor Pickney, but thank you so much for giving me this time and all the great work that you have been doing, you know, educating and informing the people. You told them, you like a prophet, Pastor Pickney. You told them what was to come, but nobody listened.
I told them about that golf course, too. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe anything about that golf course. I had a conversation with the guy the other night. They're not going to do that. They're not going to make no money off of that. Well, you said that about the golf course. You know, they don't care. They
sure
think about the future. We don't think about the future. What we do, we pray for the future, you know. We live for the
future. Well, you saw the future coming. You saw the future, you know, and I believe God revealed it to you in time. You had it. You passed the picnic. None of this would be happening if the people had a listen to you when you first told them what was about to happen.
Amen.
They
right
didn't
on.
Listen.
I got to let you go, Belinda Brown. Parker Brown, I will talk to you soon.
All right.
All right now, it's going down.
Thank you.
All right. I got to bring in my good buddy, Big Dave.
Hello.
Big Dave, David Lowry. David Lowry from Chicago. He got in late, but he's on now. So let's, Dave, are you there?
Well, can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Good. Man, I apologize for time. I'm not making it on time, man, but I'm glad that you gave me a few minutes to be here.
Yeah. Okay.
You hear me?
Okay. You see? I can hear you now. Go ahead. And one of the things I want to ask you about all the shootings that are going on in the city of Chicago, talk to me a little bit about that, and let's get it on. Let's go, big fella.
First, I want to give all praises to God and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for making it possible, and happy Father's Day to everybody out there. Reb, you know, one of the things that I noticed being on the front line out here in Chicago is that a lot of the shooting is not the gang, per se gangbangers. Can you hear me, Reb?
I can hear you breaking up, though. You're off and on. Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things is it's not the gangbanger. A lot of things that's happening around the country is that you've got racist police officers on these forces. They're getting their black face painted and hands painted, and they're acting like they're rival gang members and shooting guys of different gangs. And so that's
right.
The big problem here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What are they fighting over?
Well, a lot of times, man, I talk to the young men, and people get the internet as a evil tool and a good tool at the same time.
Uh-huh.
A lot of these guys get on that Facebook, they start talking crap at each other, and then once that they see each other face-to-face, they don't know how to communicate, so the first thing they start doing is shooting. And so we've been trying to stop the shooting and stop it out before it even gets started. My organization has worked with some people on the street, and since, I don't want to say January, we've stopped over 50 shootings just ourselves. It's a lack of communication amongst our young people. They don't know how to communicate with each other. You know, a lot of them don't have parents, and they haven't been in a situation to learn about how to be men and women. So you got a lot of uneducated people with no spiritual foundation running around doing things that the devil wants them to do.
You know, some people say these are even young guys. They say these are young guys that's doing this. And when they say young, they mean young. They say 13, 14-year-olds out here shooting folks. They don't even know how to shoot.
Well, when you don't have any role models, and that's all you can see is a dope dealer or somebody that's out here banging that can, you know, look after you, and that's what they think, then, you know, that's the reason why the young guys is doing the dirt, is because a lot of them can't get a lot of time because they aren't juveniles.
Yeah.
But they start to prosecute them as adults, so our children need to understand that this is a war that they're in that they can't win doing all the wrong things. And then this is our fault, Rev. Our fault. Because we haven't taken the time to instill in our children on what it is to be a man or a woman. So what they see on TV, God forbid the videos out there now, it's causing all sorts of dissension in our kids' mind, you know. I got a 13-year-old granddaughter, and she was giving my daughter some problems. So I went to Iowa to sit down and talk with her. But I had never thought the videos that they'd be watching. So I looked at a video that this lady, Carrie B, is in, and she promoting homosexuality, and women don't need men. And I mean, all these psychological views that they're seeing is confusing our children, you know. That's just like here in Illinois, and a lot of people don't know, man. I just started working with Solid Rock Ministries. That's 651 69th Street in Englewood here in Chicago. And a lot of people don't really understand that the crust of the problem in the black community is economics.
And one of the
craziest things that I'm seeing now is that, let me say this to black folks. Stop worrying about Donald Trump. Start focusing on the work that he's doing, because he's doing a lot of work and creating a lot of things that can help black people, but black people are so caught up on the fact that the Democrats have told them to hate this man, and they can't even see the forest for the trees and get the grapes off the vines that he's pushing down for us to get.
I gotta be honest with you, Dave. I don't see nothing that he's pushing down that we can get.
Well, you know, Rev, the economy's better. He's already stated that.
He wants to make America great again,
so we have to separate ourselves from him.
Yeah. Well,
and gather and unite. And then what we need to do is focus on the black community ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's the distraction, really, Rev.
Oh, I know he is. I know. He's just small potatoes in this.
Man, we got the jackleg politicians. A bunch of horrible preachers out here ain't doing nothing but putting money in their pocket. Man, I hate I missed the show, man. Next week for sure, call me so I can get off the show.
Okay. I'm going to get you back on next week because we got to talk about Donald Trump a little bit because we got to talk about him.
Yeah, we can talk about him, man, because he's separating the country, really. And that's the more of a reason why black leaders, black preachers, black athletes, they should be going to the black communities and investing into the black community because ain't nobody else going to save us but us.
That's right. Amen. 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 You still there,
Dave? So we just got to quit. Let me say this to the people. Reverend Pinkett, you're probably the most strongest black leader out here that I know of, for sure. And so, people, we need to gather around Pastor and start to make sure that we can do the things we need to do to uplift the community. Because if you start buying the buildings and all that stuff for our community, just close schools, close businesses, we can create what we had in the 50s and 60s, black owned and operated everything. So
there you go. And listen, we have just ran out of time. We'll get you next week. I'm going to call you next time. Make sure you get here on time. So on that note,
thank you, sir. God bless you. I love black people, man. Y'all can listen to the Intellectual Radio every Saturday at 11.
There you go.
Intellectualradio.com.
Got you.